One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'll punch a donkey on the streets of Galway, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Messi won the Ballon d'Or and the Carabao Cup is back. It's Wednesday 1st of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vidisha Nandaraja.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete.
Hello, everybody. What a wonderful Wednesday we've got here at the Football Ramble. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, Ewan Taylor, for sending us today's intro line. Presumably, he's done that as well. Mm. Gentlemen, you're looking radiant, may I say?
Thank All you. Of us. Thank you.
I'm soggy.
Yeah, I was lying.
I'm very soggy.
I was lying about you, Peter.
Came in on a line bike and I got very soggy.
You can be soggy and radiant. And you're right now.
I guess if you radiate at that point, it's steamy, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
And how many times have you been described as
steamy?
You're hearing your turtleneck.
Yeah.
Steaming.
Steaming away.
He's a steamy turtle head in front of me.
I bet.
What is that? A bad start. Let's talk about the Ballon d'Or.
Nasty man. Right?
Pick things up for crying out loud, everybody. Lionel Messi won his 8th Ballon d'Or. Who knows if it'll be his last?
I think it probably will be.
Maybe. Well, he's extended his record for winning it the most times. Of course, he was presented with 8 gold rings.
Thank you.
to celebrate the achievement. And as the night was unfolding, and my goodness, it was a long unfold, wasn't it? I thought it was always, I know Messi's the favourite. He wouldn't turn up with his family if he was taking home the silver, would he?
No.
He wouldn't turn up
all
at all.
The way from Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
That's always really awkward because at award shows, they often tell the person who's won it.
Yes.
Yes.
And while also stringing along everyone else.
I know.
Yeah.
Which I suppose if you're Ronaldo and Messi, you could be like, right, you know, they're going to have to be there anyway throughout all this time.
But no, you haven't won it because you haven't been told.
The worst was, you know, Mbappe, did you see the clip of Mbappe sat with the Manchester City squad? So when they went up to present their award, everyone got up around him and left.
That's bad planning.
Yeah. Did he feel more alone than that time when he was on the stage that was assembled on the pitch after the World Cup final and you had Messi, Emi Martinez and him collecting their individual awards?
Yeah.
He just was like, I know this is a...
Not this again. Do they have seat fillers at the Ballon d'Or Awards?
What do you mean? As in, like,
you know, like awards do, you know, like the Oscars or
like the CGI ones you get in like bad TV shows.
Oh, I suppose they would do CGI now, but you know, previously they'd have people who'd sit in the seats of a celeb went to the bathroom. Do they have
right?
That football
okay.
Looks?
Yeah. Why are you asking questions we clearly don't know the answer to?
What is that for then? Is it just to make the crowd like...
So when they pan back, it doesn't look
like
sparse.
Someone's gone to
the atmosphere pumping, Pete.
Did you say that if someone goes to the bathroom, someone will just step in?
And fill their seat, yeah.
That's a fun gig.
Yeah.
You
not heard...
Doing a couple of farts. Enjoy that, Robert Mitchum. I can think of Robert Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum.
Long dead. Long dead.
And clearly, whatever vendetta you had is destroying your mind.
Also, are you just going to rock up in his seat when you know he's dead? We won't be needing this.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be in here all night.
Would you jump in the grave so quickly?
I'm being paid, yeah. Well, Messi said, it's nice to be here once more to enjoy this moment, to be able to win the World Cup and achieve my dream. Cristiano Ronaldo left a laughing face emoji under a video of a Spanish journalist called Tomas Roncero saying Messi should have only won 5 Ballon d'Ors. So once again, Ronaldo has the last
laugh. One of the finest athletes across any sport in the history of our species with the attitude of Joey Barton.
Well, Jim, and to add to that, so while Messi's winning the Ballon d'Or this week, elsewhere in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo's Al Nassr, they won their quarterfinal this week in the King's Cup, so well done there. Ronaldo was unhappy with the referee during the match and at one point made a gesture which looked like he wanted the ref to be subbed off. So that's what they're doing. Is it fair to say the debate is finally over, Vish?
From the podium to the comment section.
Yeah, basically.
Quite damning that
is,
isn't it?
Should Messi have won this? Because Erling Haaland also played a lot of football recently.
And then won a few things, didn't
he? Yeah, did pretty well.
I think this was...
It's a piss take, is what it is, Vish.
This was always going to be Messi's to take away after the World Cup.
Everyone loves him a bit too much, I think.
I think it's...
Oh, it's a tie turning, like he did on Mitchum.
I'm in... who is this Mitchum you speak of?
He's an actor from yesteryear.
Oh, I see. I'm in Cristiano Ronaldo's pocket, I'll be honest.
Well, I think there's... You often see this with greats at this stage of their career. They just... Like, when people are thinking he's about to wind down, he's about to leave, especially now that Ronaldo and Messi have been split to a point, people are just going to start throwing more of these at Messi, just as almost like a last chance to say, he was there, or even just have him at their event type thing. Yeah. And
final garlands, essentially.
Yes, exactly.
I think it also shows that the Ballon d'Or has quite a high opinion of itself, that it thinks it's like, this is what the... winning the World Cup qualifies you for.
Well,
now you get the real big one.
Well, Ronaldo is kind of helping that, though, isn't it? Because it's the only competition he cares about, it seems, in many ways.
That is a great point.
It is. Am I right in saying, though, that the Ballon d'Or, and has been for a little while, each football association or federation gets one vote on it?
I think they just, you know those little red fish?
Yes.
Toy fish? They just sort of, if it rolls up on the side, it's Messi, and if it sort of... on the head, it's Ronaldo.
You know those little hand things where you twist it and open it up when you're at school. You pick a number, you pick a colour. That's how they do it.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, it used to be, back in the day, you would have, as I was told by a couple of journalists before, you'd have a load of journalists, because the Ballon d'Or was obviously the French...
So you could see the voting records, basically, of... Yeah,
The journalists would also all get in a room, have a few drinks and whatnot. I mean, obviously, this is not quite how it worked out, but it's probably not too far off.
Cigars, Marcus?
I'd imagine.
Hand jobs?
Save that for after.
I mean, isn't the Ballon d'Or the ultimate hand job?
Emi Martinez won something, didn't he?
Yeah, well, we'll get on to him in a minute. You've jumped the gun there, as he did. But so they would sort of argue out and say, well, who's the best? And there was a genuine kind of discussion, I think. Mm. Whereas if you have all the federations and associations and whatnot voting, then, you know, how much football is influenced, you know, where people are, how much are they watching? And of course, the World Cup is probably still seen as the pinnacle by a lot of people. And in terms of like fan fever and so on, it probably is. And when I was saying about how the voting and so on awards, it used to be 180 nations that would you know, each would get a vote. And now it's actually been whittled down to 100 countries, which
the
is...
The best ones. Yeah,
well,
it is.
Finally.
Yeah, well, the intention of that was to make sure that only countries with an established football culture, regular access to coverage of major leagues and competitions around the world, got a vote, essentially. So I don't know. How did that work? Did a FIFA representative go, right, where's the bar where everybody watches football around here? No, you can't see the screen there.
Also, did they get like voting receipts from those nations where it was like, who's Steve? Is that always my mate? I play his quality.
He's an excellent player.
No, what about you? Forgotten Messi? I've never heard of him.
Yeah. Well, that's the Kiribati vote there. So they did whittle it down, but Messi was always going to understand, but just look what Haaland did.
Yeah, I mean, he broke a long-standing domestic scoring record on the way to winning the treble.
Yeah.
Like, scored a phenomenal amount of goals. Mm. Just, it's I don't know, arguably
the strongest league in the world.
Perhaps this is Premier League centric, but Haaland seems the obvious choice to, I think, all of us, right?
Yeah. I think in Messi's defence, he is the only one of the two who had to take growth hormones when he was a kid. So.
That's true.
If anything, Haaland needs them to calm, like whatever the reverse of growth hormones is.
Reduce him down,
for crying out loud. Do you want a little message from Will?
I'd love one, yeah.
Backing up a point that Jim had made previously. Hi, Ramblers, says Jim. Sorry, Will. Jim, Will. Hi, Ramblers. In light of Lionel Messi winning his historic 8th Ballon d'Or, I think it's time we recognise the true mastermind behind it all, Neil Moore.
Go on.
If you cast your minds back to lockdown football, a certain Morpé came in with a truly cynical tackle on Bert Leno, forcing him off the pitch on a stretcher and resulting in Arsenal bringing in one Emi Martinez. Ooh. Took his opportunity like a crutch to a World Cup Golden Glove award and strung together impressive performances for several weeks, earning an Argentina call-up. As you all remember, Martinez went on to make one of the most important saves of all time in the 123rd minute of the final, allowing his side and, more importantly, Messi to win the tournament. So, as Messi lifts his 8th Ballon d'Or, spare a thought for poor old Neil, who's having such a torrid time with Brentford, he couldn't even claim an assist with half a pitch to himself.
That is quite something. And, of course, Emi Martinez won the best goalkeeper.
Mm. Yeah,
that is a bigger crime for my money.
Did he do anything to the trophy?
I've no idea, Jim, but I do know that
popped up his bum.
I do know that my good friend in Argentina, who lives in Mendoza, opposite the school where his children go to, they have a little mural on the wall of Martinez doing that to the trophy. They are kids you can achieve.
Inspiring generations. Yes.
It's so good, isn't it?
The goalkeeper one is always a bit more symbolic, unless it's a big character goalkeeper like a Buffon.
Yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, you're saying it should have gone to Edison?
Wait, it shouldn't have gone to him.
Yeah, right.
Like a great World Cup.
That was an incredible save.
It was an incredible save.
Every time I see it, I'm like, lift it. Just lift it.
Look, all I'm saying is, what you should do with these things is not have the most outstanding player or the best player for the calendar year or whatever. You should just have, you should call it, like the BBC, the FIFA Personality Award. And basically, that means you just get to pick whoever. It's not on the best, because he's not been the best goalkeeper for the whole year. He had an amazing World Cup tournament. I think I'm taking this too seriously, guys.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think you also got to remember that when you talked about at the start about how this voting is done, a lot of people probably spend a little time on the goalkeeper side of it.
Well, so, and also, everyone's watching
in terms of
World
assessing
Cup.
But even in terms of like putting pen to paper, assessing who the best goalkeeper has been.
True enough. Jude Bellingham won the Copper Trophy for all the players under 21. Mm. So that's a bit more like it. No complaints there, Your Honour.
So the record, win the big one next year, right? Or he's going.
Well, so the record is 8 Ballon d'Ors at the moment.
Yeah. Well, he's got time.
He'll be all right. I'm just worried because he's only got 10 fingers. What's he going to do? Where's he going to put the other rings?
Erling Haaland did win the Gerd Müller Trophy for best striker. So no one leaves empty-handed, unless you're killing Mbappe. Although he probably won a little trophy, didn't he, for being second or third, as they do.
I don't know that killing Mbappe has a lot of participation trophies.
No, that's true. That is very, very true indeed. So there we are, everybody. Another Ballon d'Or goes to Messi. I'm looking forward to it not being dominated by Messi, and obviously not Ronaldo. Because if you just remember, if you look through the list before, I think Kaká was the last one who... Was it Kaká? Maybe he was the one who wasn't them. You had a more of a discussion there.
Well, Thomas Roncero, who's the journalist who said that Messi should only have won 5, which, you know, Ronaldo put the laughing emojis under on Instagram, said that Messi shouldn't have won 3 of those. Xavi and Iniesta each deserved one, and that Robert Lewandowski from a few years ago, when he scored a ridiculous amount of goals at Bayern and they absolutely cleaned up. He felt that those players should have been recognised as well. And there is there's an argument there, isn't there?
There is an argument.
It did get quite boring for a long time.
It did. I should clarify, though, with when I said about Kaká, he was the last one to win it before the Ronaldo-Messi domination, of course, because Luka Modric won it in 2018 and Karim Benzema won it in 2022.
Yeah, so we're starting to see that, although even that is part of the Messi-Ronaldo generation, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what
Modric
you mean.
And Benzema, so we're going to see the new...
We're moving on. It's exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
Do you think this is probably not really a question for now, but do you think football is going to struggle with the void that those two leave in terms of where there's going to be a generation of football fan pushing for heirs to their respective
Well,
thrones.
I think that's perhaps why there's a lot of chat about Bellingham. Obviously, it's because he's quality. But, I mean, talking about, you know, he's already the best English player of all time and so on is a bit premature. But I think...
We do that every week. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know, but I like being premature. all sort of joking aside, but I do find it interesting that if you look at sort of 10 years ago in football, you think about a classic Barcelona side, you get a little bit back for the classic Milan side, classic even Juventus and all these other sides, Real Madrid and so on. If you look around, there doesn't seem to be the huge names. Maybe are we in a time when more, this is the kind of Guardiola era now, with the system being so important that individuals don't shine as much. I mean, I don't know.
I think Haaland and Mbappe are the sort of, you know,
the
facsimiles of that now. And like talismans aren't a new thing in football, are they? So I mean, the Galacticos were a great illustration of that.
But that's football, my point, Jim. That's exactly my point, is that that's of yesteryear.
But I don't think it is of yesteryear.
Well,
I think Haaland and Mbappe are absolutely as marketable, which I think is what it comes down to, and as iconic as Messi and Ronaldo, just in a slightly different way. Like, football fans love that. We love to, like, you know, lionize people and make them almost superhuman in how we view them, and I don't think that will ever stop.
Never stop. Never stop. Okay, well, something that will never stop as well is the League Cup in this country.
It might do. It very much might do.
If any of them will,
it's going to be that one first.
Well, I'm not sure, Peter, because the Carabao did return last night, of course. Mm. Quite interestingly, after you met a dog called Bernardo Silva at the weekend, Peter, we've since been reminded that Phil Foden's dog is called Carabao.
Yes.
Full
He's
of energy.
Just a little boy, isn't
Which
he?
Is interesting. That works well when they're young, but when it's an old dog...
Well, he loves it, doesn't he? He's won the Carabao Cup 4 times, Phil Foden. It's been very good to him. Mm-hmm. And another element to this is that a Carabao is an animal.
Yes.
It's a different animal from a dog, obviously. So there's a lot going on there.
So that's like calling a dog... What's your dog's
Fish.
Name?
Fish.
Fox.
Yeah.
Fish.
To not give a dog Carabao.
No.
It'll go straight through him.
Yeah. But if you do, let us know.
But if you do, let us know what happens. I would like to know what happens.
Don't experiment on your pets.
No. This is from David. How could you talk about a dog named Bernardo Silva without talking about Bernardo Silva's dog named John Stones?
Oh, yeah.
How far does this go? Does your dog have a dog called Pete Donaldson?
It's got like a little few sort of like toy dogs, so maybe.
Maybe that's what he calls
them. Maybe that's what he calls them.
Just keeps it in his head. He doesn't vocalise it. Oh, this joke is, maybe one day I'll share it. A dog named after Sergio Aguero once fought off two men who assaulted his owner while trying to steal him. So there is a bit of pedigree, if you will, of dogs being named after Manchester City players.
Yeah. To be fair, the dog itself, it was a Shar-Pei. Are they expensive? They look quite... big and muscular. They look like they could take care of themselves.
Well, it sounds like it did.
Yeah.
Indeed. Would you have a dog called Carlos Tevez, Jim?
I would not. No,
fair enough.
You're all right, mate. You're allergic to dogs.
Sneezing in a very doggy way.
Gentlemen, can I move us on from the dog chat?
Please.
Okay.
You're the only one who can.
I will wield my power and yield it and do all those things, Jim. Exeter City 2, Middlesbrough 3 in that Carabao Cup last night. Exeter missed out on reaching the League Cup quarterfinal for the first time in their history.
Slightly gutting for them, though, I think.
It's very gutting for them. Their manager, Gary Caldwell, said he reckons that Middlesbrough have a better squad than Luton, who Exeter, of course, beat in the last round.
And so it proved. And Exeter put up an amazing, amazing fight. Ryan Trevitt scored a couple of really, really good goals.
Mate, there were some lovely goals in this game.
Half volley for the opener was absolutely magnificent. In off the underside of the bar. Oh. It really looked like they might actually do it there. Yeah. Got a little bit of luck with a deflection for their equaliser. But when Middlesbrough had turned it around with a couple of lovely goals themselves, you're thinking... oh, are they going to manage it here?
And they did in the end. Rogers' goal as well, the way he just knocks the ball out of his feet and bashes it in the corner.
Okay, the keeper was not enjoying his left-hand side,
is fair to say they spotted that.
On the Middlesbrough side, Tom Glover, finally, a lovely red-haired keeper. But you just don't see enough red-haired keepers.
No. You don't see a lot of them, do you? Chris Kirkland, I'm thinking.
Bogdan. Mike Hooper. You just don't see him very often. I'd like to see more red-haired keepers, please.
Okay. Well,
And this guy's like strawberry blonde at best. I want fiery red hair on my goalkeepers.
Did Phil Stamp ever go in goal?
I feel like he did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But he always had a buzz cut.
Yeah, but he still was... He still tick the box that you want to, correct, yeah, to have ticked. I'm sure there are other ones. People are going, oh, this goalkeeper.
Wes Brown ever go on goal?
I doubt it. That was Rio Ferdinand's gig, wasn't it?
I accidentally Googled Phil Stamp in Goa, and he's never been to Goa.
He's never been to Goa.
Don't you go to Goa. yes. Well, a good win for Middlesbrough. They march on into the next round, of course, as do Port Vale. Mm. League One Port Vale into the quarterfinals for the first time in their history. You see, it's not all doom and gloom.
History's still being made. They beat the Carabao.
Yes, they beat League Two Mansfield, of course. Port Vale previously beat Mansfield in the League Two player final, of course, to reach League One. Vale fans were heard singing, "We saw you crying at Wembley."
Rude.
Very childish.
Port Vale have got a player called Oliver Arblaster, which is just nice. Fantastic, isn't it?
It sounds like something that would have been in the film Free Jack.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he sounded like he was, you know, operating a big gun for the army once upon a time.
It sounds like a sci-fi kind of character, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I see what you're doing with that. I thought you were going to say they've got a player called Robbie Williams. And I thought, no, Jim. He's a big Port Vale fan. What are you looking at me like that for?
Wasn't he singing a Spurs song recently?
Why are you having to go, Jim, for something you didn't say?
Well, that's true. Not the
Marcus omitting 90 spores again.
Have you been
again
to bed, Marcus?
Have you ever had children, Jim?
No.
I've owned a dog.
a reminder, everybody.
Why don't you show us some photos of them? Everyone loves that.
A reminder that Port Vale fans once paid for a plane to fly over Stoke Stadium during their final game of the season to mock their relegation, because we're just told, you know, the football fans can be a petty bunch. Of course, Port Vale, when they flew that plane over Stoke Stadium on the Saturday, the game was actually being played on the Sunday. Stoke were also playing away in Swansea at the time, so it was nobody saw it. I think
every box ticked in the fuck up Olympics.
If you fly a plane over Stoke and they're away from home, does it
make a noise?
Yeah, exactly.
The important thing to remember is that Stoke were still relegated.
Oh dear me! Right, gentlemen, before we go for a break, would you like a Pascal Chimbonda update? Please say yes.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Well, of course, you remember that the World Cup runner-up went and managed. He's still there at ninth tier, Skelmersdale United. Chris Anderson updated us on how things are going on X. He said, "So I've heard that Pascal Chimbonda's second game in charge of Skelmersdale was eventful, with three red cards for them, including one for Chimbonda himself. But they still beat Barnoldswick Town 4-1. Nice. However, last Saturday they lost to Squiresgate 3-2 and had a further two players sent off. They faced Glossop North End on Saturday at 3 p.m. The names of the teams. Yeah,
if anyone
glorious
listening from outside of the UK might think we're making some of these up. Yeah. But I promise you, despite the fact I've never been to any of them or heard of them before, I'm very confident that Barnoldswick, Skelmersdale and Glossop North End are all real. Actually, I have been to Glossop, weirdly.
There you go.
But yeah.
So yes, I mean, sounds like they'll have the bare 11 with all these sendings off and so on. It seems quite eventful.
We know this is moving towards him having to strap his boots on.
Yes, absolutely. So. Absolutely. All right, everybody, let's go for a quick break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Get in somebody's face. Smash somebody.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Manchester United versus Newcastle United tonight. A repeat of last year's Carabao Cup.
What a Wednesday treat.
What a Wednesday treat. Have you paid a ticket tout to go to see this one, Peter?
I've not, no. Okay. The coffers are empty for that kind of nonsense, to be quite frank.
Okay.
It's at Old Trafford, though. You probably just squeeze in through one of the holes, right?
Disguise yourself as some rain.
Yeah.
And just get in.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if you went as a big raindrop. Like, oh, okay, after you, sir.
Yeah, after you, sir. Get in there.
There's a lot of you all in here.
Hello, I'm asbestos. Can I come in?
Eric Ten Hag reportedly ordered the Manchester United players to sit in silence and listen to the Manchester City party after the derby loss at the weekend. Is that because, do they mean in the dressing room next to them? You know, listen to that. All of you listen.
It's like Ten Hag is doing some mad stuff at the moment. You get the feeling that, like,
it's got to him.
It is starting to get to him, isn't it?
It happens to all of them post Ferguson. They can't. They one. Some of them win trophies, as we know. Not all of them, but some of them do. And there's a flicker of hope. Da 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 da. And then they get Manchester United.
He's undone everything good that he did last season.
I don't even really think it's him. Like that's quite a common managerial thing. Like managers have done it before in terms of listen to how much it means to them and remember this feeling, blah blah blah.
Yeah, but
how many times can you do that? Remember this, put it in that space next to all the other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the telling thing will be when people aren't having parties when they beat Manchester United, because it's a very routine win.
When they were listening...
You listen to how much it means... Oh, they've left.
When they were doing this, the Jadon Sancho walked by with his headphones just bopping along, having a lovely time. And what was about? Yeah, I mean, it's been reported that his more stick approach than carrot is rubbing up the players the wrong way a bit now.
He feels like a stepdad who's also a PE teacher, doesn't he? And they're at the you're not my real dad point.
Well, I think that's it. I think when there's a bit of disarray and somebody comes in, it's a bit like Capello at England, if you remember. We thought, good, a disciplinarian, you know, come in and give them a kick up the arse. And at the start, you think, yes, that's what they need. But once things seem to be kind of a bit better, I suppose maybe the players expect that just to ease off a little bit, maybe. I don't know. But I would imagine the treatment of Sancho, whatever side of the fence you fall down on that, it will have pissed off some of the players because they'll be mates with him.
Yeah.
One or two other sort of conversations that people have and so on that suggests that, I think the players are like, nah, this is not right. And if you're having a really, really bad time and you have a chap who is giving it plenty to you, I don't know if that's the best approach. We're going on reports and sources and all that kind of crap at the moment, but what do you reckon, Vish?
I don't think this is a team that have shown themselves to be amenable to either carrot or stick, to be fair.
Yeah.
If you think of a lot of these players under Solskjaer, like Flattered to Deceive by the end of it.
You put the stick on the end of the carrot, maybe?
Yeah.
Get some reindeer players?
Or maybe just act like grown-ups. I think there's an element of, Ten Hag coming in, being a disciplinarian, having that good period at the February to March of this year, where they obviously beat Man City, they beat Barcelona.
Won the Cup.
Won the League Cup. And had quite an intense period, but, you know, it went quite well. And then have shown themselves to be back at square one, whereby I think the idea that he needs to tailor his approach is difficult when you consider the fact that that squad can also look at him and say, we've seen, what, three people go in the last, like, 3 years? Mm-hmm. Like, if we don't like you, if we're not au fait with this approach, then we know it's probably not going to last for that long. And I suppose the Jim Ratcliffe thing is a bit of, you know, could be a potential difference in terms of it sounds like he wants to keep Ten Hag on, but...
yeah.
You know, we don't. It's a club that has existed like this for a while, and it doesn't surprise me that it continues to be like this now.
Yeah, a lot's been made of the style, or sort of really lack thereof, this week, with Ten Hag being asked about his style at Ajax and why United are so different from it. And if anyone missed it, he said that essentially style is always dictated by the players that he has available, and this team will never play the way Ajax did just because the players are so different.
Yeah,
but that sort of does suggest. A bit of confusion, doesn't it? Because everyone's saying when you watch Man United, it's very difficult to work out what their plan is and what their style is when they set the agenda. A lot of it seems to be essentially kind of soak a bit of pressure and hit teams on the break. But certain teams are too good for you to do that against.
Well, it was interesting when the manager says that, because a lot of managers, especially at the top level, have a philosophy. They have a style. And if it's good and it's still relevant, because styles and whatnot kind of come in and out of football, then they will reach, they'll be able to implement that wherever they go. It's a bit like when Pochettino takes over Chelsea, everyone thinks, what did he do at Spurs? There was a blueprint. Now, perhaps people think that's unwise and whatnot, but you are looking for sort of signs, you know, he likes working with those types of players. He likes using the fullbacks in that kind of way, da-di-da-di-da. There are some managers, off the top of my head, you know, maybe Carlo Ancelotti, or slightly more, someone like Max Allegri, maybe, although I'm, don't want to kind of be on thin ice with this, but, you know, come in and more pragmatic, like Ten Hag is saying, go, right, what have we got here? Okay,
yeah,
great man managers, let's G up the players, let's get the best, right, you do what you do, how can we fit it in? And because, you know, someone like Ancelotti will not be thought of as Guardiola type, you know, despite his successes and so on. I mean, God, has a lot more success, but he's seen more as that type of manager that the players like, if you see what I mean, rather than having these amazing systems and so on. He gets the best out of what he's got. If you have a manager like Ten Hag who's saying that, I had a philosophy at Ajax, I had a way of playing, but now I'm at Manchester United, and I don't have that, I'm going to rip that up, because that kind of doesn't work. You kind of go, well, the club have either got to back him and get those types of players in, or he's then not playing to his strengths and is, you know, we talk about players being played out of position and go, well, actually, for 20 years of his career or 15 years of his career, he's played as a striker. Now you're trying to play him as a holding midfielder. He's got to learn a whole new thing. It's almost like that as a manager, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, he's signed a lot of players, though, and they're players that he wanted and has been given.
Which is why, it just shows you the sort of disjointed and mess that this is in. I mean, to add insult to injury, you know, we hear about the stadium crumbling. We hear about all these things and all the nonsense. It's been reported that Manchester United players are choosing to wear replica kits because they've complained that the match day tops and socks are too tight. I mean, what else is there to go wrong?
Aren't like club socks usually too tight anyway?
Well, they often rip the holes.
They rip holes in the back.
Yeah, but the tops, though, they're going into the club shop and go, give us that one. Has it got my name on the back? Oh, thanks, you know. It's just like, it is quite...
That'd be really sad, wouldn't it? Because they would have to print a Maguire replica shirt.
Why did you choose Maguire?
Because I was trying to think of someone who wouldn't necessarily have one off
you're
the rack.
Marcus, you're not making Maguire pre-done shirts because nobody wants
that. All right, I'm going to go up there tonight.
Get it on a five.
Yeah.
And you'll have to turn up the next morning when they print it.
Yeah, when they're finished printing it.
My point is, you can't buy it off the rack. That's not a ridiculous thing to say.
Okay.
But yeah, that is quite comical. But I suppose it's not necessarily United's fault. There's what are kit manufacturers doing nowadays?
Yeah, there's the Villa situation as well, with the whole wet look thing as well. It's strange, isn't it?
It's a strange old one.
Newcastle also have a lot of players missing through injury and various reasons as well. So actually, let's assume it's going to be another rainy night under the lights at Old Trafford on the Wednesday night. This might be really fun. They're all a little bit, you know.
Well, Newcastle have got those funny shirts. They've got Castor shirts, haven't they? So they've got the wet look shirts that the players have been experiencing.
Oh, wow. It's like someone's stag do. It's a shit shirt derby.
It is, yes.
With the names on the back.
Yeah.
But the nicknames, please. Yeah, Sven Botman won't be playing tonight. He's out for a while, or could be out for a while, which is a shame. Isak and Barnes also injured. Obviously, Tenali's banned. So is the squad starting a little thin, Peter, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was thin at the start of the season, but they're obviously limited about what they can, who they can bring in, and, but they've had a good go at it.
Yeah, well, due to financial fair play reasons, we should say, because when Eddie Howe said, well, we just didn't have the resources to bring in another striker, I was like, yeah. No, you very much do, you're not allowed to.
Eddie Howe's also been speaking about the possibility of a World Cup in Saudi.
Was he getting on the bandwagon?
He said, we were looked after very well there.
Right.
Right.
So that's why presumably Australia and everybody else who was thinking just went, no,
just went that,
got
yeah.
to get out of the way. Well, yeah, I mean, better news for Newcastle United is that Saudi Arabia looked like they're set to host the 2034 World Cup after Australia pulled out of the bidding. So no other competition. I mean, I would genuinely love it if the inspectors and whatnot went round and went, no, we can't have it here.
Mm. Well, where are we going to have it then? The stadiums aren't, like, a lot of them aren't built yet, are they? So it's definitely going to happen.
Does it default to Mexico?
I think it should do. Yeah, I really, really believe it should do. Even the Euro should default to Mexico, if you ask me. But yeah, it's a strange situation we have now where World Cup, the next three World Cups have all been awarded without the voting process because they've changed the system slightly. So that's pretty different.
Somebody made the point that obviously FIFA said they want to take the World Cup around the globe and so on, and Qatar, you know, it was the first time the Middle East hosted it and so on. Where will it go next and whatnot? And and the next time Asia will host it, of course, it'll be just across the road from Qatar to Saudi Arabia.
But then rest in peace, Andrew Jennings.
Yeah, what a man. Tonight, Ipswich Town host Fulham. It's been put in the running order. Could we see a cup set?
Is that a dig at you, do you feel?
Maybe, Jim.
It's possible, though, isn't it?
Anything's possible at this stage. Do you think it will happen, though, Jimothy?
I do, actually.
Having a nice
just
time.
Like you thought Brentford very much did beat Fulham this season. Brighton would beat Fulham.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Ipswich,
think about Brentford.
Currently second in the Championship, 5 points behind Leicester City, and they're already 9 points ahead of Leeds in third. Ipswich going very, very well indeed. We've spoken a little bit about Leicester because, of course, we have to. But this, Vish, is the classic scenario of a cup set. The Premier League side, who are not pulling up trees, they're doing okay. They don't have a terrible season or anything like that for them, but they go away against a Championship side who are flying high.
A Championship side who just got promoted and are flying high.
Exactly, yeah.
They're probably one of the stories of the Championship, really, when you consider how Kieran McKenna's got them playing. Like, they play very expansive football at home, you know, always high-scoring games at home, and then they go away and nick games. Well, they don't nick games, but they end up playing out a succession of 1-0 victories, and they're really
29 goals in 13 matches.
Yeah, they're really a really exciting team, and so I mean, this is it'll be a cup set because of the because of the tier difference.
Table, but like, it will be a cup set.
It will be a cup set in this rain as well, Marcus. Yeah.
Is this what's been keeping you up at night?
Yeah.
Will the water be pooling in the swimming pool that they've got for the?
No, it's at Ipswich.
It is Ipswich.
It is at Ipswich, Peter.
Okay,
yes. Well, Marco Silva said about the Carabao Cup, it gives us a chance to get something special, which is to play at Wembley, and we are fighting for it. That gives me hope. Gives me a lot of hope.
Do you think Fulham are in the sweet spot for a League Cup run being exactly what the club needs, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they've never won a major trophy, as I often say on this podcast. So it would be utterly huge, of course. Playing against Ipswich, though, who have won a fair few major trophies in their time.
When would the last trip to Wembley have been?
Playoffs, loads of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, when was that?
Against Brentford, during COVID.
Right.
Okay. The last time Joe Bryan scored the two goals, yeah. Time before that, a couple of years before. Tom Kearney scored. Yeah. There you are, you see.
You don't need it then. Fuck
Wembley, we got good pedigree at Wembley. It's just getting there. Getting there. And then you had that farce, of course, last year in the Cup when all those Fulham players were unfairly sent off.
Just trying to talk to the referee.
Are you sure, referee? Can I have a moment of your time? Liverpool take on Bournemouth tonight. Is there a cup set there, Jim? Are you not having it?
Potentially, but
they're going to. See, this is the thing. If Fulham don't play their best side, which I'm not sure they will, there's a chance. Liverpool are not going to play their best side.
No.
Bournemouth have just got their first win in the league season. Come on. Dream with me, Jim.
I think Liverpool are going to win.
Okay, fair enough.
I think the way Liverpool are playing at the moment, this is the kind of fixture that just strengthens just how good their squad is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It gives people a few more minutes, and I'm just so annoyed because it'd be great if Manchester United were in this position. But they've got the perfect squad for exactly like, well, games like this.
Yeah, they're exercising their depth, essentially.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. Did you see that former Liverpool player Mamadou Sakho got into a fight with his manager at Montpellier, Mitchell Duzakarian? Sakho reportedly pushed him to the ground for not giving a foul in training. It shows the passion of the man.
Yeah, I think he was trying to sell him, wasn't he? And they couldn't find a buyer, so he's just sort of still at the club.
We'll start giving him
without much of a future.
But there's no need to give poor decisions against him.
No, I agree. You've got to have integrity as a fake.
Tried to make him leave by not giving fouls against him.
Interesting that he referees the training games.
Yeah.
I thought clubs generally had like in-house refs to do that.
Yeah.
In-house refs? Surely not. That's a good point, actually. Would that be something that would elevate the training?
I remember...
If you've got a throwing coach, you can afford a referee, can't you?
It might have been Joey Barton talking about how difficult it was to get free kicks off of referees in training at City.
Right.
But if anyone has more knowledge of that, let us know.
Do they have referees in training?
Or do the managers do it? Are they all doing it?
I think managers and coaches...
Is that why managers hate referees? Because they're frustrated referees?
Maybe.
It's not how I would have done it in training.
Managers and coaches generally do it, but also you used to get situations, I'd like to think it still happens, but maybe not. But because, you know, local referees don't actually referee their local team.
Yes, right.
Sometimes they train with them.
Ah.
And so when there are law changes, basically, they often go in and help them through that.
Oh, nice. That's cool. They've got no excuse, these tempestuous footballers.
They certainly don't. I'd like to end the show with an apology, corrections and clarifications.
Oh, not this again.
Please don't start doing this.
I'm going to have to. This was on the Patreon people. Right. We're talking about this on Discord.
Right.
That, of course, Roy Keane didn't end Alfie Haaland's career, as I suggested that he did.
Right.
Because I remember Alfie Haaland saying, well, you know, years later, I didn't really play much after that, and it basically facilitated the end of his career. Which,
I thought that was made clear.
Yeah, well, I mean,
don't come at me, Discord.
Well, no, but they did. They came
user
to me.
User Arkeen there.
But apparently that's a load of bollocks and so on. And so, yeah, they were talking about this, so I apologise, everybody. I mean, Damo G said, you would think a media darling like Marcus would know better than to encourage this sort of bollocks. He's let himself down there.
Oh.
There we are, you see. Is there any other bollocks we'd like to encourage before we
leave? But just to clarify, it was a contributing factor to Haaland stepping away from the game early.
Do you think?
Well, I mean, it was, wasn't it?
Haaland has been a bit disingenuous with some of his comments since then, you see.
Oh.
So,
no wonder his son didn't win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
No,
exactly, yeah. So, yeah, he's well-deserved, Lionel.
Sins of the fathers.
I've come back around.
So, if he didn't do that, then, you know, he deserved that shooing from Roy
Keane.
Should
we just apologise broadly for ourselves in general? Yeah.
No, do you know what, Jim? I've had enough of this apologies talk. I think I need to double down again.
Double down.
Don't back down.
Double down.
Exactly. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. This evening, I'll be joined by those two guys, Pete and Jim, for a Ramble Reacts after those League Cup games. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere, because old media darling Marcus here and the boys are going to be doing Ramble Uncut. If you're not signed up yet, get yourselves over to Patreon by hitting the link in the show notes. Also, for everybody, follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Farewell.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.